Whether you operate one forklift or thousands, one location or hundreds, the new My Toyota customer portal can help you optimize your operation and material handling equipment. This one-stop, free-to-use platform is designed to help you take control of your information and make smarter decisions, all at the touch of a button. Register and access your data today at my.toyotaforklift.com. That's my.toyotaforklift.com.
The New Warehouse Podcast, hosted by Kevin Lawton, is your source for insights and ideas from the distribution, transportation, and logistics industry. A new episode every Monday morning brings you the latest from industry experts and thought leaders. And now, here's Kevin.
Hey, it's Kevin Lawton with the New Warehouse Podcast, bringing you a new episode today. And on today's episode, I am going to be joined by Mauricio de la Cerda, who is the head of growth at Now Ports. And Now Ports is focusing on nearshoring based out of Mexico and allowing companies to be able to take advantage of nearshoring and help them through that transition and adjusting their supply chain to be able to meet this trend that has been popping up in the past couple years here. And we're going to dive into the nearshoring topic, and we're going to talk a little bit about how both from the Mexico side and the U.S. side, companies can prep and prepare to be able to utilize nearshoring and take advantage of some of the things that it brings along with them, and how also it will have an impact on 3PL's warehousing industry and everything about that. So Mauricio, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Kevin. I'm doing well. How about you? It's great to be here. So excited to join you today.
Definitely. Happy to have you on here. Happy to talk about this. I think it's something that's definitely a hot topic in more ways than one in a lot of different aspects of supply chain and business overall. So definitely happy to dig into it. Now, you're with Now Ports. So why don't you tell us first a little bit about Now Ports and kind of what it is that you guys do?
Sure, Kevin. So Now Ports is a digital freight forwarder. We are sometimes compared to the flex ports of Latin America. We're mentioned as the flex ports of Latin America.
Okay.
We've been in the market for 5 years. We're based out of Mexico. We have offices in both Mexico City and Monterrey, but we are present in 8 countries across the Americas, including, of course, the United States. We have provided services to over 3,000 businesses across all 8 countries. We were declared a unicorn in 2022. So we have a very brief but very fast-paced history. Mm-hmm. And our main objective is to enable not only regional integration within the Americas, focusing a lot on Latin America, enabling commerce and trade with the U.S., but also helping the rest of the world integrate their commerce with Latin America as well. So that's our main objective, and we're looking to disrupt in the regional supply chain industry and logistics.
All right. Very interesting. And I think certainly, you know, great growth there, as you mentioned. And, you know, I think rightfully so, as people have, you know, been looking for alternative ways to get that freight into different countries and figure out how to, I think probably, you know, make their supply chains a little more agile, a little more resilient too, as we've seen some of the effects and impacts that a pandemic can have, right, on many different assets of the business, certainly made people think in a lot of different ways. But, you know, a lot of that has been focused around the concept of nearshoring too, right? As you know, bringing goods closer to where they're actually going to end up for sale or distribution. So why don't you talk to us a little bit about kind of what your perspective is or Nowport's perspective is on the current state of nearshoring? You know, is it just a trend? Is it something that is for the long term now? Where do you kind of, I guess, maybe think about that as current state?
Sure. So us and at Nowports, we have seen a definite increase in trend, not only in the nearshoring part between Mexico and the U.S., the more commonly referred nearshoring part, but also within Latin America. many countries in Latin America have a high dependency on commodities and especially on trade with China and other Asian countries. What we are seeing is that they are diversifying from the dependency of commodities and trade with Asia to enable other types of industries, to enable trade within Latin America and with other countries, such as countries within Europe and the Middle East in some cases, but also more flows towards the US. So I think it's definitely not a trend or a hype, I would say. It's more of a long-term trend. It's definitely something that has come to stay. And we are seeing more and more businesses getting established, not only in Mexico, but also in other parts of Latin America to take advantage of those commodities, of those growing industries, of cheaper labor as well, but more professional labor every time. So I definitely see that increasing long-term. And we are seeing that at Nowports, we are seeing that increase regionally as well.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think it's definitely something that makes sense. And certainly, you know, getting that product closer, especially as, you know, consumer behavior and demand has moved towards, you know, wanting things sooner and faster and making that availability happen. I'm curious, you know, obviously the pandemic and COVID was certainly a big catalyst for a lot of companies, you know, considering nearshoring. But what other factors, I mean, aside from that, you know, large unprecedented event are also driving companies to consider nearshoring as an option for their supply chain?
So of course, the closeness with Mexico and the fact that not only in Mexico, but as I mentioned, in other Latin American countries, labor has increased in specialization, in professionalization. I think we are seeing more and more opportunities for U.S. companies to have cheaper labor, but with better quality than what they were used to in the past, and even in recent years with other countries as well. So that is definitely a big opportunity for decreasing costs, for enabling savings, but also to keep quality levels very high. We are seeing more and more high-tech industries coming into Mexico for manufacturing. As you know, Mexico has a very big automotive industry.
Right.
We are seeing more and more of that in recent years. We are seeing even aerospace industry as well. So I think it's additional from the closeness and the quickness of trade between both countries and within the region in general. I think there are additional factors that make it attractive for U.S. companies to set a base or a plant or a warehouse so close to home, right? So I think we're definitely going to see more and more of that. And as it permeates towards the rest of Latin America, we're going to see definitely more factors that will enable nearshoring in not only in the short term, but as a long-term trend, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think those are great factors to consider as well. I mean, you know, certainly we want quality labor, but certainly the labor costs are becoming a challenge in multiple different parts of the world. So we're trying to keep that labor cost low, but at the same time, quality high, which I think is super important when you consider where you're going to be sourcing from and where you're going to be putting goods at and having them, whether it's manufactured or stored, whatever the case may be. But, you know, when we look at nearshoring, for the example of, you know, coming from Mexico to the U.S., certainly the product, as you mentioned, is in closer proximity, better location in a sense for getting product faster, right? But it does kind of create a different flow of goods to, you know, not only from a speed perspective, but also from a transportation and mode perspective too as well. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how does that increased flow of goods that's now coming by land from Mexico versus coming from like an Asian country via ocean? I mean, how does that impact the U.S. supply chain overall?
We'll be back after a quick break. You hear a lot about supply chains these days, because if the past couple years have taught us anything, it's that an efficient, well-managed supply chain is absolutely critical to keeping businesses successful and consumers happy. I'm Will Haywood, and I host a podcast called All Business, No Boundaries, where we talk about supply chains, how they work, what happens when they don't, and the innovations that are redefining what's possible in the world of logistics. Join me for insightful interviews with thought leaders and industry experts. We discuss how optimizing supply chains can break down the barriers that are holding businesses back. That's All Business, No Boundaries by DHL Supply Chain. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, first of all, cost-wise, I think there can be a lot of savings there. As you know, the ocean trade has gone up in terms of pricing,
right?
Not only with recent geopolitical events, but since the pandemic, you know, prices went skyrocketed, and that drove costs pretty high. So that would be actually another factor for having nearshoring as an advantage, not only cost of labor, but cost of shipping as well. But going into that, transport is closer. Many of the manufacturing plants are setting up base, or have in the past set up base very close to the border, and are doing so today. Mm-hmm. So that saves a lot on transportation costs, but it also drives up traffic. And as we know, the U.S.-Mexico border is the most heavily transited border in the world, not only in terms of people movement, but also in terms of goods. So the first impact that we will see is, on the one hand, we will see decreased time in terms of transportation, but there is a challenge to be addressed in terms of making more efficient those crossings and the general infrastructure in place. So that is one of the key challenges that needs to be addressed in the short term. There are steps being taken by both governments, especially by the U.S. government and the Texas government. Texas is playing a key role in nearshoring just because of the sheer size of the border with Mexico. But there are many opportunities in saving those costs and saving time, and in making that integration more efficient. We are seeing investments in Laredo, for example, to enable more traffic, to enable housing. So I think that is a trend that we're going to see, or a shift in the trend, and how volume is going to increase in land transport versus ocean, just because it's closer and because the factories are being set up close to the border. So I think that is definitely a trend that we're going to see in the short term. And especially because it's much more efficient than to transport from central Mexico to the ocean, and then ocean transportation to the US. So I think efficiencies are going to be found everywhere in the short term.
Yeah, very interesting. And I think it's great to see, right? Because you know, one of the problems, I think, for a lot of companies stemming out of the pandemic was certainly, you know, having enough inventory on hand, right? And then, you know, when, you know, people were wanting to do the just-in-time model, but then you couldn't get anything in time, right, to stay in stock, in some cases run out of stock. Now you're able to get that sooner because it's closer. Do you think that from an inventory, I guess, perspective, is that positioning people back to more of a just-in-time scenario, whereas I think, you know, they were saying that, you know, people were moving to a just-in-case, right, instead of just-in-time. So, I mean, do you think having that proximity and maybe less reliance on a transportation mode that is longer has some maybe additional complications, like ocean carriers would, does that allow companies to more comfortably move back into a just-in-time type of setup?
Definitely. What we are seeing is that with the shift of this transportation mode, you reduce variability. Mm-hmm. And with that, you reduce uncertainty. There's always going to be a risk, of course. And especially in the short term, the increased traffic, as I mentioned, and some inefficiencies that are in place, but I think that will be addressed in the like very soon. So I think to make it sustainable, once those efficiencies are addressed, we will see a shift back to just in time, just because you don't need to have those high levels of inventory. You reduce a lot of the uncertainty. And even if you have those variabilities, you're very close in order to be able to boost production and reduce transportation times. And in any case, if you need a plan B or C, which we already see in the automotive industry, is it's a short flight between Mexico and the US.
Yeah.
Much shorter than from Asia. So in any case of urgency, you might need to go into air freight as well, but you have that option. And the costs are definitely lower than bringing something from overseas, from Asia. So there's also an opportunity there to improve just-in-time supply chains or go back to just-in-time supply chains while decreasing cost and saving on transportation time and cost as well.
Very interesting. Yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, like you said, the flight is shorter too, as well for most points in the US. And I think it's really interesting to think about this. And, you know, we talked about the US side of things, but let's talk a little bit about kind of the Mexico side of things too. I mean, because obviously, you know, this shift, I would imagine is having a positive kind of economic impact on Mexico, bringing more business in there and more opportunities for jobs potentially in manufacturing, warehousing sector. So tell us a little bit about, you know, how is this nearshoring impacting Mexico, and is there like a boom going on? Is it something that's sustainable for the long term? Tell us a little bit about that from the Mexican side.
Yeah, so what we're seeing is a boom that faces the challenge of sustaining growth on the Mexican side. In that sense, in order for this boom to be sustainable in the long run, there needs to be some challenges addressed by government, but also by private enterprise. We need to look for efficiencies. And in order to make it sustainable, we need to look for ways to improve infrastructure, distribution of the wealth that will be created and that is being created by nearshoring, by all the opportunities by nearshoring. And there is a lot of talk about that currently because, as you know, both countries are changing governments. We're going into elections this year in both countries. So there are some challenges that need to be addressed there by both sides. But especially with the incoming Mexican government, there are some changes that will need to be done in both the short term, looking for efficiencies in terms of taxation, in terms of movement of people even, and setup of business, quick needs to set up businesses as well. And in the long run, as I said, we need to look into infrastructure and ways to distribute that wealth more evenly. So there are some challenges. I think I am hopeful, and we're all hopeful, that we will have the vision as a country to address those issues to make it sustainable in the future. But what we are seeing is definitely an uptick in that. And, you know, everyone's on the same train looking to benefit from the opportunity that is nearshoring right now.
Interesting. Yeah. And I think it will be interesting to see how that plays out over the next year or so, as you mentioned, with things changing in that way. But it's great to see, you know, the opportunity there, I think. And, you know, seeing how, you know, now, you know, by shifting supply chains in this way, are you able to see like how is that beneficial to, you know, all these different countries involved as well? And how do we make that, you know, supply chain stronger, and then also, you know, make other economies and things stronger as well, and create different opportunities to be able to do that? And I think it's really interesting to see the development of that. But, you know, outside of, you know, US and Mexico, I mean, do you see that other countries will also being kind of utilizing Mexico almost as like a bridge to the U.S. in a sense, like shipping goods to Mexico and then having them route up into the U.S. in certain avenues?
Yes, definitely. And I think the talk is mostly centered around China and other Asian countries, but we are seeing an uptick in establishment of other businesses from Latin America, for example, from Europe, from the Middle East, even, where they are taking advantage of nearshoring and the position, the closeness of Mexico to the U.S. and the trade agreements that are in place between both countries. For example, we have an Audi plant set up a few years ago in central Mexico. So the Germans are aware of those benefits. Volkswagen has been in Mexico for many years. They were the first to move here a long time ago. And more European countries and, as I said, other countries from Latin America are taking advantage of that. So I think it's not only Asia or Asian countries that are starting to move here, and they are going to move here in the short term. But also it enables trade with other countries as well, taking advantage of these factors, this closeness and the factors that I mentioned previously. So yes, we are definitely going to see that increase more and more in the coming years.
Very interesting. Yeah. I mean, I think it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you see kind of this shift, I guess, in a sense to want to have those goods closer, especially to keep up with consumer behavior and demand and a lot of the other challenges that we see in supply chain as well. So I guess specifically from 3PL and a warehousing perspective, right, which we are the new warehouse, right? So we always want to make sure we get that warehouse angle in. How can 3PLs, you know, or warehousing companies that maybe are looking at this and seeing that, you know, hey, there's a potential opportunity for us to grow here or to align with these shifts in nearshoring, how can they kind of prepare or potentially position themselves to, you know, make sure that they're helping companies that they work with to be able to take advantage of these opportunities?
Yeah. So what we are seeing is investments in this aspect along the border, especially along the Texas-Mexico border, especially in Laredo from the U.S. side, but also in Monterrey from the Mexican side. I think the opportunity here for 3PLs and warehousing companies is to set up warehousing facilities in either side of the border, but mostly in Mexico, because warehousing costs are lower, of course. And also because this creates, you were talking about inventory recently, and I think this creates an opportunity to decrease costs on inventory by having it on the Mexican side, creating a buffer to be able to react quick without the increased cost that it implies having it in the U.S. facility. And it also decreases transit times because you can go from manufacturing plant to the warehouse and then ship directly to U.S. customers on that side of the border. And it also enables trade from the U.S. towards Mexico. And I'm talking raw materials here, for example. There is going to be a big opportunity for all of that manufacturing to import raw materials from the U.S. and tech machines, for example, and construction materials even from the U.S. So if we have that infrastructure and those facilities in place, it will be easier to supply all of those materials on site as opposed to having to import them and, you know, have delay time. So we are seeing that. We're seeing increased investment in warehousing along the border, also in central Mexico and towards the west, close to Guadalajara. It's becoming a big warehousing hub within Mexico because of its closeness to Manzanillo, which is one of the biggest ports on the Pacific side. So there's definitely going to be some opportunities or a lot of opportunities there for 3PLs and warehousing companies to set up shop on this side of the border and to benefit from closeness and cost as well.
Very interesting. And I think, you know, I would say if I was a 3PL owner, it wouldn't be a bad location to have, you know, to shoot over to Mexico for a little bit, checking on the business, right?
Exactly. The beach as well, so you can swing by.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A little business development on the beach, right? So very interesting stuff here with you, Mauricio. I mean, it's very interesting to see this shift. And I think it certainly will be interesting to see how it continues to develop. And I think from a overall supply chain perspective, it makes a lot of sense to be able to get your product closer to that market that you want to sell into, and also be able to expand kind of that reach and distribution throughout the Latin American area as well. So really appreciate you coming on the show and talking to us about this topic. It's very timely and it continues to develop as well. If people want to learn more about NowPorts and how NowPorts could potentially help them with nearshoring and accomplishing these things and doing business in other countries, what's the best way to learn more?
So you can reach us at our webpage directly. It's www.nowports.com. We have offices in the US, Mexico City, and as I mentioned, other 9 countries within the Americas. And you can also shoot me an email. It's mauricio.velacerda@nowports.com, and I'll be happy to follow up on that and see where we can go and help you with your trade needs and logistic needs within the Americas.
Awesome. And we'll definitely put all that information at thenewwarehouse.com as well. So Mauricio, thank you once again for your time on the show today.
You've been listening to the New Warehouse Podcast with Kevin Lawton. Subscribe and check us out online at thenewwarehouse.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you want more content from the New Warehouse, check out our new video series called All Hands on LinkedIn. Just search for the New Warehouse on LinkedIn and follow along.